So when you trace the line of cause and effect all the way back to the beginning, you come not to our free choice as the ultimate cause, but to God's choice. Right? Our free choice is there. It's part of the story. But it's not the ultimate cause. It's not the original cause. The original cause is God's choice way back in eternity. Before he even created the world, he chose who he would save. This is the doctrine of election, the doctrine of God's choice. That, in fact, I think, is the really terrifying notion, right? The notion of God's election. Although, to back up a second, think about how Luther will think about this. Is Luther happy that his salvation is in the hands of God's choice? Or would he prefer that his salvation would be up to him, ultimately? You can tell how Luther would answer. Thank God it's God's choice. How horrible it would be if it was ultimately up to me. Right? If it was ultimately up to me, I would be running away from God. I would be hating God. You know how Luther thinks about free will. If salvation was ultimately up to me, Luther's thinking, that would be bad news. But good news, it's ultimately up to God. Right? Of course, lots of people hear it the exact opposite way. Right? If it's ultimately up to God, that's terrifying. Well, let's think about why it's terrifying. Right? It ought not to be such bad news that things are ultimately up to God, but in some ways it is. It's a problem about this notion of God's choice, or to use the Latin phrase, the doctrine of election. And election is just Latin for choice. I'm going to suggest that the really troublesome thing about the Augustinian doctrine of predestination, which Luther and Calvin share, is this doctrine of election, of God's eternal choice. In doing so, I'm going to set aside a philosophical problem, the problem about determinism and free will. Right? How can God be in control of all the events of the world and us still have free will? Right? If everything's determined, how can we have free will? That's a deep, deep philosophical problem. But Luther's not bothered by it. He says, oh, God is sovereign over everything. That's good. What's the problem there? And I think there's some really serious philosophical problems that Luther just ignores there. But we don't have to worry about those problems because I think for most of us, the deep and troubling problem is about God's choice. That's certainly the deep theological problem. Right? The philosophical problem is about determinism and free will. The theological problem is about God's choice, the choice of this hidden God before all time, a choice that we don't know about. Right? The revealed God makes these wonderful promises, believe in Christ and you're saved. The hidden God says, this person gets saved, that person doesn't. There's the problem. It's the doctrine of election is about how God distributes the gift of grace. And the problem is that it is an unequal distribution. Unequal but not unjust, Augustine insists. And here's what I mean by that. Augustine will look at one person and say, you're saved. And then look at another person who's perfectly equal to that other person and say, this one's not. For instance, here's Jacob. I'm going to save him. Here's this Jacob's twin brother, Esau. I'm not going to save him. What's the difference between them? None at all. They're equally undeserving. Right? Neither of them deserve to be saved, but I'll save Jacob, not Esau. Right? These are biblical names which we'll get back to. Why does he save Jacob rather than Esau? Sheer mercy. No reason that we can give. Right? So it's unequal. Jacob and Esau are not being treated equally, but, Augustine argues, it is not unjust. Why? Well, Esau is not getting anything worse than he deserves. He deserves damnation, just like everyone who's born in original sin. So he's not getting an unfair deal. He's not getting treated unjustly. And Jacob gets treated better than he deserves. He gets mercy that he hasn't earned. So no one is being treated unjustly, Augustine says, even though the two of them are being treated unequally. You see, the issue is not about what happens to an individual, but about the distribution. Why this one and not that one? That's the deep issue. Why the choice that God makes, Jacob I'm going to save, Esau I'm not? You don't really understand the structure of the problem until you put two people in the picture. Why this one and not that one? And what's the answer to that question? Why Jacob rather than Esau? The answer is we cannot possibly know. There is no possible reason that we can give for why God would make the choice to save this one, Jacob, rather than that one, Esau. Because if there were a reason, then we could say that one of them deserved it. Right? The best reason for choosing one person rather than another is to say that one person's better than another. Right? And that would be merit. That would be salvation not by grace alone, but by merit. Jacob would earn it. Jacob would be better somehow than Esau. And the whole point is, no, he's not better. Right? The only difference between Jacob and Esau is the difference that God makes by choosing Jacob rather than Esau. At least that's the Augustinian argument.